Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today, we're actually not going to even review a horror movie. We're actually going to be talking about our time at Silver Scream Con 3, which we've been wanting to do, but Corey here has been on a little vacation.
Yeah, I actually left directly from Silver Scream and went to Vegas for 9 days, so we're a little late on this. But when I say left directly from, I mean it, like literally left from the con and hopped on a plane.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of lucked out a little bit because initially you were going to leave like super fucking early.
Yeah, and luckily I found out closer to the convention that my flight wasn't as early as I thought it was on Sunday, so I was able to take my time.
Yeah, no fucking running around trying to meet everyone in such a short span of time, but we met a shit ton of people this weekend, man. But first thing, I have to mention this. I want to thank David Balsam, the CK Communications Group, and Ice Nine Kills for having us at the Silver Scream Con 3 for the second year in a row. It's just, it's so awesome of them to do that for us. We can't wait to go back next year as well, and hopefully they can do the same. And who knows, maybe we'll be exhibitors of some bullshit.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I would love that.
Or maybe I'll be dead and you'll be doing it with someone else.
Maybe James McAvoy.
You know, I didn't know he was Scottish until recently.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know that?
I'm pretty sure I did. He had that like accent, you know, that European type accent. So that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. He was on the Smartless podcast actually this week. And he's Scottish.
It's fucked up. Should have been us.
It should have been us. We're bigger than Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and I can't remember the third guy's name.
Yeah, we're bigger than them, bigger stars than all of them combined. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I got to do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. So let's get into it. We're basically going to break down this whole weekend. So Friday, this was arguably the most successful Silver Scream Con to date. So this thing was held at the DCU Center in Worcester, which is not a stadium. What do you want to call it? It's like
it's an arena.
Thank you. Okay. It's an arena, which was cool because that's where they used to do Rock and Shock.
Yeah.
Now, Rock and Shock was... Go ahead. Because no, I've never been. I fucked up.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I, for some reason, I thought you and I had gone together, but I went to that probably 3 times before they stopped doing it, and we haven't had it. I don't even know when it stopped. I'm going to Google that while you talk.
Yeah, so that kind of just abruptly stopped. So, like, every year, Rock and Shock was happening. Everyone kind of, like, expected it, and it was kind of the same deal as, like, New England Metal and Hardcore Festival. I think it might have been the same person, honestly, but I don't know. Anyways, it just kind of abruptly stopped. So, we had that void for a very long time until Silver Scream Con decides we're going to do it at the DCU Center and have our show at the Worcester Palladium literally right next door. And it was fucking great. Like, you could just walk back and forth and shit. It was awesome. I loved it.
2019.
Is that when the last one was?
Yep.
Shit. So, okay. 5 years then? Sometimes I feel like it's longer, but guess not. Not that long. So Friday, apparently all the vendors made their money back in just the first day. And if that isn't proof enough, I don't know what is, because that's crazy. Usually it's like a solid amount of money to buy on to these conventions, and to make your money back, it's, from what I hear, it's tough. So for everyone to just make their money back the first day is wild. And then, of course, we stroll in, Who are the first people we meet, Corey?
Oh, the Levy brothers. That's right. We met Mike and his brother Jason from the Stream Directors, actually.
Exactly. Like, it was nice to finally be able to put a face to the voice. Obviously, we know what they're like on screen, but to actually see them up close and in person and be like, oh, fuck yeah. And, you know, it's good to see them.
So the doors were at 5 and we got there probably about 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, first people we meet were Jason and his brother, and then we were made a beeline because we were like, we knew David Howard Thornton's line was going to be fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, his line was already capped by the time we got there, and the convention had only been open an hour.
Day one capped already. And this is the least attended day. Well, no, I don't want to say least attended, but of the three, obviously Saturday was the strongest. That thing was fucking jammed. Friday, a little bit more than Sunday. So it's expected, though, that conventions Saturdays are usually the busiest day if it's like all weekend. So we tried to make a beeline. Didn't fucking happen. It was like jammed to like, oh, yeah, it's capped and he's going to be going to dinner. It's like, okay, I'm not going to wait here for God knows how long. And I think he had a panel after that, right? So we would have been waiting forever. So we decided to just dick around and meet some other celebrities. So this time we met Derek Mears, who is so fucking cool, by the way. And he gave us like the whole lowdown of what happened with the game Conquered. And if y'all don't know what happened with that game, it got dropped on PlayStation Store and was basically pulled almost immediately.
Irritating.
So dumb. And it was like a couple reasons. So obviously the reasons were the reviews weren't great, but another big one was the pronouns that they were having in the game as well. So people got in this massive fucking uproar about pronouns in a video game. And I'm just like, fucking whatever. Who gives a shit? I mean, it's a video game. Why is everyone getting so up in arms about it? But people got upset about it. And he gave us this whole spiel. He's like, I haven't been able to talk to anyone about this yet because he did the voice and he did the mocap as well for it.
Yeah.
Which I had no idea.
No, we didn't know anything. I don't even. Oh, you know what it was? We started talking to him about it because I gave him. So I brought my original copy of Friday the 13th, the NES game with the purple Jason, and I had Derek sign it, and that's why we started talking about video games.
That's right. Yeah, that was like your thing this weekend, is getting the Friday the 13th NES game signed by basically everyone. And my mission was to get my Terrifier comic fucking signed by all the Terrifier people, or everyone involved in the first one, I should say. So that'd be Damien and David. That's who was there. So, yeah, we were talking to Derek about this and just gave us the whole rundown. And I was just fucking blown away that he was like giving us all these details that he hasn't been able to talk to anyone about. I guess like he wasn't allowed to, but then finally someone started talking and he's like, all right, here comes the fucking floodgates opening. And he started telling us all sorts of shit.
Yeah. And then he actually told us he hadn't talked to anyone about it before.
Yeah, exactly. And that felt special to me, just being like, all right, now we can go in the podcast and talk about something that we were the first to know, even though it's probably already out there now at this point. We fucked up, man. Actually, you fucked up. You went on a trip. We could have had this news up in the day of.
Well, yeah, this is my fault.
All your fault. So start doing a little lollygagging, fucking walking around, seeing all the vendors, all this cool stuff. And then we end up making our way to a trivia night with the ghost of Jose Mangan. And we got third place out of 20. Not fucking bad, right?
No. And no, we got robbed anyway because Jose can't count.
Yeah. Well, because initially he had us at fourth place and then he started announcing the other team after us with less points. And we're like, wait a second, we're third then. So top 3 out of 20 teams is not bad. There was a lot of people in there, and Jose decided to make an announcement that he's going to have a show on SiriusXM called Reign in Horror. So he has like this show that's going to be talking all about horror, and it's going to be quick. So I'm thinking, what's this half hour bullshit? You fucking copying us? What's happening here?
Stolen idea.
Stolen. We didn't copyright this shit. It's our fucking fault. Whatever. We're a smaller podcast. He's got SiriusXM. Who knows? Maybe we'll hop on there someday. And he'll be like, you were my inspiration. And then whatever. Okay. The funny thing, he was calling his daughter a pussy the whole time.
The whole time. His 21-year-old daughter.
Yeah, it's because she didn't like Pet Sematary the first go around. And I think she was a baby or something. And he just called her a pussy. So it was pretty fucking funny just for her dad to be talking shit about her. And she was so like, whatever about it. She's probably just, well, she was like 21, you said, right? So
I believe that's what he said. Yeah.
So she was probably just like, oh, dad, whatever. Let's just get paid and get out of here. Who fucking knows? But after that, we pretty much just went out for Mexican food. And who do we bump into again?
Derek Mears. Derek Jason Mears. Voorhees walks through the door.
And we're like, oh shit, hey. I fucked up. I should have got him a shot. I was talking to Patty. I'm like, I should fucking buy this guy a drink, but what do I buy him? I don't know. Does he drink? Who fucking knows?
You could have bought him a shot of water.
That would have been a slap in the face because Jason does not like water. You imagine that? That would be such a dick move to do. Like, I got you a shot. Here's some water. All right. So that's Friday. Saturday is where we tried to get the most done that we possibly could. Of course, on the busiest day, because why not? So on Saturday, I got to meet Lauren Lavera and I met Damien. So I met them two on that day because their lines were a little less chaotic. Not as bad as David Howard Thornton. His was, again, jammed, fucking capped already. So I'm like, well, I guess maybe we'll just try later on. I went back later on, jammed again. So I'm like, all right, maybe I have to try on Sunday. So got to meet Lauren Lavera, almost passed out. She's a celebrity crush of mine. So I'm like, oh, okay. I got to be cool, calm, and collected here. Not to mention her husband's right there. I got to be like professional here. I can't be a dick. Not that I would be anyways, Corey. I'm pretty nice when it comes to these actors and stuff. I don't try to be fucking weird. But there were some actors I wanted to meet, but I didn't get the chance to with Devin Sawa. Didn't get to meet him. Not because I didn't want to or his line was jammed. I just got fucking broke. It was very expensive this whole fucking weekend. Corey, I'm surprised Joanne didn't kill you.
Why?
Because all the money we were spending.
That was my money, though.
Oh, well, okay. That's good then.
Yeah. No, I can't spend our money on that. No, I have my own source.
Oh, good for you. So that's why you can buy all sorts of stupid shit. Like your baby Art the Clown. Is that covered in blood yet?
No, Steve has it currently. And no, he's working. It's a work in progress.
All right. Also, speaking of Steve, you wanted to get this poster signed by basically everyone in Terrifier this weekend. And you had a pretty awesome moment with Damien.
Yeah. So our friend Steve is a artist who also does tattoos. And he drew a really cool photo of Art the Clown. I'll actually have to share a photo of it online so you guys can check it out. Anyways, he only printed 50 copies of them. I have number one, and he gave me two that he just wanted me to give as gifts to David Howard Thornton and Damien Leone, which I gave to both.
Mm-hmm.
I got a photo of Lauren Lavera holding the poster, which I sent to him. I got a picture of Damien holding the poster, sent to him. Steve got me the picture with David holding it on the third day because I was gone at that point. But anyways, I have a really cool Art the Clown portrait tattoo on my leg, and I asked Damien if I could show him. And he was like, yeah, that's cool. So I showed him, and he was, I don't know what his reaction, would you describe it? He was like kind of in awe over it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was in absolute fucking awe because, sure, like people get tattoos, but it has to be really humbling to see people like acknowledge something that you created that they love so much that they decide to put it on their fucking body for the rest of their lives. So Corey's got this crazy tattoo and he shows him and he's like, man, that's so fucking cool. And he takes a photo of it.
Yeah. He's like, can I take a picture of that? I was like, hell yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And then go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say probably exactly what you were going to say. He gave you a free autograph.
He goes, pick one of these 8x10s off my table and I'm going to sign it for you for free. I love that. So he gifted me. I got to choose a photo, which I ended up picking the poster of the very first Terrifier movie. And he wrote on it, Corey, suffer for your art, which is such a cool line. But anyways, I thought that was really nice. He didn't need to do that, obviously, but Damien is such a nice guy in person. That was the first time I think either one of us have met him or you met him in Florida, right?
No, I actually did not.
You met just David?
Neither. I fucked up in Florida. I at least met Paul Wiley.
I thought you had a photo with Art.
Oh, yeah, but that was just the photo op. That's all that was.
Oh,
so that wasn't, yeah, that was a whole different ballgame. I mean, photo ops are a little different, obviously. And we decided to do one this year because I needed to redo mine anyways. So you and I got a pretty sweet photo op with the both of them.
Yeah, and that was cool too, because this was on Saturday afternoon was our photo op. And you and I walk into the booth and Damien looked right at us and he goes, oh, it's nice to see you guys again. Thanks for coming. Like he remembered us.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
It was fucking awesome. It was really cool to hear that. And it was quick. Obviously, you just go in. It's like, wham, bam, thank you, sir. You fucking go in. You take your photo. It's like one shot. You have to make sure you get it fucking good and don't fuck up. And we did all right. We did pretty well, I thought. So I got my copy. It's fucking like it's over by my horror shit in my living room. I don't know what you did with yours. No, not yet.
Yeah, same. So, it's in my that plastic, one of those plastic things we brought. I didn't get a frame for it still.
Those things came in clutch.
Yeah, they did. Good. You saved us fucking $40.
Because
next year we're going to sell them in the parking lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude.
Edit.
Nope. No, we should. Fuck it. No, honestly, if we had our own table, I would fucking sell it. I'd be like, $3 each. They'd probably murder us because we'd be undercutting people. But seriously, $20 for a pack of like, 25 of those fucking covers for the 8x10s versus people charging $5 a piece for those. It's a hell of a profit for a package of those things that you can just get on Amazon.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting way to make money there for them.
Hey, some people do it. Bands buy fucking earplugs and sell them at their shows for like $2 a piece, right? Or more.
Those like red styrofoam ones or whatever. It's foam, some kind of foam.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just foam. And they buy them for like $10. They sell them for $2 a piece. There's like 50 of them in there. So they make their money back. And you know what? That's kind of like the homeless people in Vegas. They'll have like these fucking coolers full of waters, like bottled waters.
I saw people all over the place doing that.
You know what? I bought it. Fuck it. Because when I turned the cap, it snapped. So, you know, it wasn't like some fuckery happening there.
Yeah, but like I ended up at one point because I got to rant a little bit.
Go for
Vegas
it.
Vegas is fucking expensive.
Yeah, it is, man. Yeah, it really is.
So we started going into like CVS's and Walgreens and shit and just buying beer for like $4.
Fuck yeah, man.
And just drinking it while walking down the street.
They don't fucking care.
No.
They expect it.
That was our first time there. So I've never experienced being able to walk down the street drinking. Like I've done it in Europe before. They don't give a fuck if you do it there either. But anywhere here, no way, man. You got to brown bag it or do it, you know, behind a car or something.
How fucking amazing is it?
But yeah, it's cool to just be able to walk down the street with a fucking can of beer in your hand and no one gives a shit.
Oh, man. I love going
to Vegas. Weed if you're into that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was, what did I do? I wasn't smoking, but I was definitely fucking tripping on Eddie's when I was there by myself.
Must have been wild with all the lights.
Oh my God, man. Dude, it was like 3 a.m. I was by myself and I was fucked up on Eddie's and just walking around Vegas trying to like snap out of it because I took way too many. Enough to be like, the floor is like non-existent. It's space. It's a void. I'm fucked up. I was gone, man. But love going to Vegas. Here's a pro tip. If you go to fucking Vegas, go to like old Vegas, Fremont Street, they have these little bars on the side. You're like, I'll do a Jack and Coke or a Jameson and Ginger. And they just fucking pour like the whole fucking thing of liquor straight in. It's like, all right, we're going to heavy pour this fuck. Vegas is wild. I love going there.
I don't. Maybe. Never going back.
Fuck that. You're coming with me next year.
I sucked.
No, no. You're coming with me. I'll show you the dirty part of it.
Oh, Jesus.
The underbelly. I'll show you the underbelly of Vegas.
I can't wait.
Yep. So on Saturday, we got our photo op with Damien and David. That was awesome. We got to meet Ari Lehman, the first Jason, and he was awesome too. And you know what? He didn't charge us for like these little fucking baseball cards that he was signing. He's just like, oh, yeah, here you guys go. Never thought of that. That's such a cool concept for like a celebrity to just sign these baseball cards that they had made and just hand them out. It's a different fucking thing to do. It was unique. And then you left me.
Left you high and dry.
Left me high and dry. Thanks a lot.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I had to leave. I had to get a head start on back in the suitcase.
I know. So it was really just like me hanging out with Patty and just fucking dicking around. And then we end up going to see Ice Nine Kills in this moment. And this fucking show was wild. I missed basically all the other bands. I saw like a sliver of Avatar. And then I realized, not for me. It's not that I hate them or anything. I just wasn't my cup of tea. but I can see why some people like them. So I missed Ari Lehman's band, the first, what is it called? The First Jason?
Yes. We heard him from the parking lot.
That's right. We did. We heard them from the parking lot, but didn't see anything other than that. So I came into in this moment, I think maybe like a quarter of this set was done. So I got to see a few songs and they are a production.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen them live?
Who? I'm sorry.
In this moment.
I saw them before they got big.
So, yeah, man, it is quite the production. So when I saw them, she's up on this fucking like podium or some shit. And she's like looking like she's straight out of fucking Ghostbusters. The wind is blowing up. There's light shining on her. There's fucking these video screens behind her.
She's all about her, man.
I know. Whatever. It's their fucking thing. I guess the whole band is fine with it.
Would you be salty if like, so the Summon, for example, like if no one else in your band existed, like if it was just about you?
Would I be salty about it?
You probably wouldn't, but your band members might. you'd love it.
I fucking love it because I like my ego stroked.
So does she.
She does, yeah. So they were really cool live, though. I've seen them before. They're actually going to be playing the, I believe, the SNHU Arena not too far from us. So that's kind of a big deal. I didn't even think they were like that big enough to be like playing in an arena, but I guess so. So good for them. But then Einstein Kills played and it was so fucking good. It was everything that I hoped for and more. So I've never seen this band with fucking pyro. Like, this is the first time I've seen them have pyro, and everyone else in the crowd, when we saw fireworks going off during their set, everyone went, just pure shock.
I'm surprised they let them do it, because that's like a, yeah, granted it's outdoors, but that's a tiny area right there.
Yeah, and it was interesting because the fireworks did not make any like big bangs. You know, they blew up like they normally would, but you didn't have that extra sound at the end. So yeah. I don't know how they fucking did that, but they had these quiet ass fireworks that clearly didn't piss off the neighbors. And it looked so damn cool.
And from everything I saw off clips, it did look awesome.
Yeah.
I am sad that I missed it, but I really had to get home and take care of shit. So.
Oh, I know, man. I know. It is what it is. So they played an awesome set. Randomly, the fucking power went out during their set.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We all thought we were being trolled because it happened like at a weird spot in the song where it could almost be like a pause to build suspense. But no. Then they just started the song on over again. We're like, oh, okay, cool.
Well, so it was kind of hot that day. So maybe it was something with the power they were drawing.
Yeah, man. That weather was perfect, by the way.
I'm glad you fucking liked it.
Yeah, perfect walking weather. I loved it. Corey, you were fucking dying, though.
Yep.
I don't get it, man. Maybe it's like the few months that I stayed in Florida where it was like 105 degrees basically every day. And I was like, yes, this is nice.
Yeah, so, you love the heat, though.
I do love the heat. I don't fucking know why. Oh, you know what? I wanted to bring something up, by the way. We bumped into a friend of mine, this girl, Kim, that I went to high school with. I haven't seen this girl in like 10 years. And maybe a little more at this point. And gave her a business card. Lo and behold, next day we got an order. Actually, I have to give props to Kim because without her making an order on our store, I would have not known that our fucking store was not working properly. So, Kim, thank you for that. That was awesome. It took me no time to figure out how to fix it, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
So, whoops. So
it was like order failed and she was like, nah, it took money out of my account.
Yeah, like, nah, bitch. I paid. Yeah, it was like this weird integration thing. The equivalent of, did you turn it off and turn it back on? I just had to like sign back in to connect the store and it was fixed.
Yeah.
Typical IT bullshit. You try it logging out and log back in? Like, well, no, because I didn't fucking know it was broke. So.
And you wouldn't have known.
I wouldn't have known because I don't go on the website and make purchases. So I don't know unless I friggin' see some fuckery happening in our email or some shit. But the store is up. Everyone buy some shirts. We got some awesome stuff up on there. I know, cheap plug. Hey, we got to make some money. Fuck it. Why not? Yeah, buy some shirts, buy some hats, like cups and koozies and stickers and all sorts of shit. Just buy some shit. It's fun.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. And I wanted to talk about how awesome Sean Cunningham was, by the way.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
We're standing in line probably about an hour to meet him. And for those of you who don't know, Sean Cunningham created Friday the 13th, the entire franchise, you know, back in the 80s. And we waited in line to meet him. And there's this guy in front of us who shouldn't have been allowed to do this, but he brought like 8 different posters.
What the fuck?
And they only charged him for one autograph. And
so fucked up. Go ahead.
So yeah. So Sean has to sign all of his shit. And we're standing there. And all I had was one thing. And Steve just wanted to get an 8x10 signed. I had my Nintendo game that I wanted to sign. And when I finally got the opportunity to do it, I reached out and handed it to him, and he, like, this big smile came across his face, and he goes, "We got really lucky with this video game." And I'm like, "Yeah, and most of us have never beaten it." And he just started laughing. He's like, "You're right. I don't think a lot of people have."
No, it's a son of a bitch, the game.
But anyways, he signs the cover of it. And then I like reached to like, I thought he was done, and I went to like grab the game back from him, and he like puts his hand up like, you know, like 1 minute, and then he opens the game, and I'm like, "Oh no, what is he doing?" He opens the game and he pulls the instruction manual out, the original instruction manual, and he signs the booklet and he writes "kill, kill, kill" on it. And he wrote like, he wrote my name and then he signed it. I just thought that was really cool. He signed the box art itself and he signed the booklet inside. So, you know, I'm going to have that game until I die, and then Joanne will probably sell it for a fortune.
Probably. So if there is anyone that should be allowed to sign the manual, it's him. Sean gets top billing. He should get the manual. Everyone else can get the box, no problem. But you know, he's the creator, the writer. It makes sense. It's his brainchild.
Yeah.
You know, it's his baby.
He even said he doesn't see a lot of those anymore. Because, I mean, that game came out in, I don't even know what year it came out. Hold on.
Let's say, I'm going to say 87. Let's see if I'm right.
About 1989.
Ooh.
So you were close.
I was close.
But there's you know, not a lot of those floating around anymore. And my particular copy still works. I got it as a gift for Christmas last year from one of my good friends. And I was like, this would be really cool because this particular convention had, was it 3-4 Friday the 13th people at it?
Yeah.
So I was like, it'd be really cool to get everyone there sign this game. And I'm pretty sure the only one I'm missing now is Kane Hodder, which apparently I'll be able to, I met him before, but we'll meet him again next year. He's going to be at that thing in, I don't remember what it's called, but it's in New Hampshire, that horror
Monster
convention.
Monster Palooza, is that what it is?
Maybe.
Maybe.
But they announced him as his first, as the first guest. So I'm definitely going to have to go. I have Kane's signature already, but I purchased it. So I'm going to have to bring this game and have him sign it too, because I believe he's the only one I'm missing.
Yeah, you got to round it out, man. Got to finish it up.
You know, and it'd be cool to have actually CJ Graham to sign it too if we ever get the opportunity to hang out with him again. But I have most of the Jasons now on there, except at least two.
Man, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Monster Expo.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Monster Palooza is in California. I was getting the two mixed up. So Monster Expo is next year and Kane Hodder's going to be there. So we'll be there. It's going to be awesome. So Saturday, we sat in on a panel with Jamie Kennedy and David Arquette.
That was awesome.
Always a good time seeing these panels, especially like when you get to see these celebrities talk about, you know, these movies. And it's really cool.
You forgot to mention Lee Waddell was also on that panel. The guy who wore the Ghostface costume.
You're right. I did forget to mention that. Whoops. But yeah, the three of them were up there doing their thing, talking about it. It was awesome. I love just sitting. Actually, no, wait. It was standing room. We didn't even get to sit.
Yeah, there was no shot. We were in the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were in the far fucking back. But it was a good time.
Yeah. I'm bummed that I never got to meet David Arquette because I did, you know, I brought that Ultimate Ghostface action figure that I wanted to get signed by Jamie and Lee and David, but I just didn't get it done. I didn't have Sunday to do it and ran out of time on Saturday. So, and I didn't want to burden you with that.
Yeah, we did the best that we could in the span that we had, or the span that you had. I had all weekend. So, hey, you did the best you could. But I do regret not meeting Devin Sawa. I should have met him, but because I was wearing a fucking Idle Hands t-shirt on Sunday.
You did wear it?
I did wear it. And Idle Hands is like one of my favorite movies all time because it's so ridiculous and it's just so fun. And if anything, I should have just went up and said, thank you for this. It's fucking great. I love it. And here's a little backstory too, because I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I used to work in a video store. And one time I took out Idle Hands and I brought it back. But somewhere the return didn't get processed properly. So they claimed that I owe them $2,500 in late fees for Idle Hands.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not paying that. I brought it back. It's here. I didn't fucking keep it. If I kept it, it would be somewhere. It'd be around here. But no, I definitely didn't keep that. because it was literally just a cassette in like a plastic container. So if I was going to keep it, I would want the fucking artwork and everything. I returned it. They just don't believe me.
Souvenir.
Yeah. I hope to find it one day and go, whoops, my bad. Here's $10,000, I guess.
I still have a copy of Super 8 on, I think, Blu-ray that I got from Blockbuster.
Oh, man. Wait, did you just keep it, never return it?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Super 8? Okay.
Yeah, no, well, no. Now that I think of it, it was actually Netflix. It's when Netflix, I don't know if they still do discs, but I still have the envelope and the disc inside of it. No, they don't. Yeah. Okay.
No, they don't. They discontinued that, which, understandable. It's not really needed. I had it for a while, and eventually it got to this point where I would rent it, like a Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And it would be sitting, and I would just be doing the streaming shit. And I'm like, why am I not fucking watching this movie that I, like, rented? And I had, like, the highest plan. Well, not the highest plan. I think I could take out, like, one movie at a time. And, like, that's the kind of plan I had. So they would fucking sit. And then one time, there was a break-in at my house. And the Simpsons movie was in my Xbox One.
I thought you were going to say the Simpsons broke into your house.
Yes, exactly. The Simpsons broke into my house. So I had the Simpsons movie sitting in my Xbox One, and they took my Xbox. So, like, they fucking took me for everything. And I contacted Netflix. I'm like, hey, someone broke into my house and fucking took everything. And they also took your Simpsons movie. I'm like, oh, that'll be $20. Fuck me. All right, whatever. So, hey, they don't do it anymore. They don't do the fucking whole Blu-rays or DVDs by mail.
So it's strictly streaming now?
Strictly streaming now. It's whatever. It's fine. And it's even more expensive than ever.
I forgot to mention, though, Saturday night, one of the people we were with got a photo op with Scout Taylor Compton and Daniel Harris.
Oh, the photo. Oh, that was really cool.
It was cool. This dude had to go out to Mexican food with us, just covered in blood. He was sitting at our table. We were drinking margaritas and having tacos, and he's just fucking covered in blood from head to toe.
Yep. It made for an interesting order, that's for sure.
Yeah, their photo ops were cool. I was really hoping that Christmas sack we saw was for the Art the Clown photo op.
Oh,
my wasn't.
God. Oh, man. That would have been wild. So, yeah, backstory here. We're standing in line getting ready to talk to Sean Cunningham, and we see a Christmas bag walk in. Like, one of those giant-ass Christmas bags that you would see, like, in movies, like the Santa Claus or some bullshit, right? Ginormous. And we're like, what the fuck is that? Is it going to be Art the Clown dressed up as Santa? Because I'm going to lose my shit.
We both were, yeah.
Oh, my God. We were both excited about that. Yeah, we were pretty excited. And then didn't happen, which is whatever. It's fine. But the photo op was still awesome. But that would have been absolutely crazy if we got a photo op like that. That would have been just so cool. So that's pretty much it for Saturday. And then, you know, Corey fucking leaves and Sunday comes around. And Sunday was kind of like one of those days where you just kind of go because you already got the weekend pass. So I was like just kind of lollygagging, looking around. And I was like, I have to do this one thing, though. For the fifth time, going to David's table, capped again. I'm like, that's it. We're fucking waiting. So Patty and I just waited in line and we got our autograph from David Howard Thornton. I was talking to him. He's really cool. I handed him the poster that Corey wanted signed. So he took a photo with that, with him holding that. And I thought that was really cool. And he was so awesome. He was awesome to meet.
So how long did you actually have to stand in line? Because we never even got the opportunity to stand in line. Crew just was like, get out of here.
45 minutes, maybe?
Oh, that's not that bad.
It's not. It's really not. Like, well, yeah, maybe a little bit longer than 45. Whatever. Shawnee Smith's line was like that every single fucking day of the weekend. Just fucking jammed going down. They actually had to create like a snake pattern for her. There were so many people. Crazy. So got to meet David Howard Thornton. He was awesome. He signed my comic book. I've been wanting to get that done all weekend. It's now hanging out on my bookshelf here, waiting for the rest of the gang to sign it. So more lollygagging. Didn't get to meet Devin Sawa. Didn't get to meet Shawnee Smith. Shawnee Smith for fucking good reason, because it was just jammed. Always
jammed.
Her
line was insane.
Every single day. Insane. Sunday was the same exact way. It was equivalent of Saturday.
That brutal. Her line went through the middle of the convention floor, like all the way to the other side of the building.
Yeah, it was so long. And good for her. So she had this panel on Sunday that I actually went to, and everyone was just asking questions about Saw. And I'm like, I should have stood up and been like, all right, when are we getting Blob 2?
The Saw movies don't even exist to you. It's all about Blob.
It is. I fucking love the Blob. And the movie, the remake that she was in ended with quite the cliffhanger that is wide open for a sequel. Wide open. And the way it is, there's this pastor and half his face basically got fucked up by the Blob. So kind of melty looking. And she blew the Blob up by freezing it with liquid nitrogen, kind of like Terminator. And blew the thing to smithereens, and he took a piece from the Blob and had it in like a glass jar. And he's got like this whole little cult thing that he's running, and he's like, you know, the end is near type deal. It's wide open. That's when they could have found, like, you know, later on they find this fucking thing in a jar and whatever, and then all hell breaks loose. Who knows? But don't know if it'll happen. Because I probably should have asked and been like, all right, what do I have to do to get this moving?
I'm kind of sad that you didn't.
It's so dumb. So dumb. I have so many opportunities presented in front of me that I just do not fucking capitalize on them.
Nope.
And it's my dumb fault. It's literally every aspect of my life. The amount of opportunities that I'm presented on just a daily basis is ridiculous. It's absurd. My life would be really different if I made just on-the-go decisions and just be like, okay, yeah, sure.
I'll agree with that, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. But Shawnee Smith, yeah, she was just talking about Saw the whole time because everyone all wanted to talk about Saw. And that's fine. And it was really cool. And that was pretty much it. That's when I was like, all right, I don't think I need to see any more. That's really just the last thing I wanted to see. So I just head home at that point. But Corey, what do you give Silver Scream Con 3?
Yeah, easy 5 out of 5. This convention is so well put together. This is our second year in a row that we've gone. This is the third year that the convention's been a thing. And I'm sure it's going to keep going. This is going to be a mainstay. Ice Nine Kills really does a good job of organizing this whole thing, their whole team, you know, all the people involved. And I hope it does get bigger every year. Next year is going to be bigger too, I'm sure. And I think the venue upgrade definitely helped them a lot.
Absolutely. I think it was required, man. I think they saw the writing on the wall.
Hotel, dude.
Yep. I think they saw the writing on the wall and was like, this ain't going to work. We have to go bigger. And fucking pulled it off. It was jammed all weekend. So
yeah. And the fact that they don't charge like insane prices for admission, like I think a day is like $40 maybe.
That's awesome. You know, it should be like that. Get them in the doors so that way they can spend their money on the fucking guests.
Yeah.
That's where you make your money. I mean, sure, the tickets are fucking great and all, but that's where they're going to make their fucking profit, is like taking a cut of all that shit.
That and the vendors, they have a lot of really cool vendors that they have there. This year, had they had people doing tattoos? I don't believe they did that before.
No, they didn't. But yeah, I wasn't getting down on a tattoo at a convention. That's for
sure. Yeah, no, I'm cool with that. But props to the people that got them done, because a lot of people were getting signatures and getting a tattoo right on them, which I would love to do with David Howard Thornton's signature right under my art portrait. Yeah, it's just not for me.
Yeah, no. You don't need to have someone's signature on your bodies. But I mean, I'm not going to knock anyone who does because it's really cool, but not necessary. In fact, tattoos aren't really necessary anyways, but they're still awesome to have.
So, Steve, what do you give it?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 as well. I look forward to this every year since going last year. It's fucking silly to say, but the 2 years in a row that we did go had such a fucking awesome time. I look forward to it every year, and I'm going to look forward to it every year going forward. So easy 5 out of 5. I just love going. I love the vibe. I love that, you know, there's like heavy metal involved a lot with the horror and everything, and it's all just like cohesive. It's just a really cool vibe. And I love going. And everyone should go. If you're in the fucking Massachusetts area, shit, there are people flying from different countries to go to this convention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was hearing people from like, oh, I'm from England. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Fucking coming from England? Good Lord.
They've got quite the following. You know, Ice Nine Kills does. So the fact that you get a band like that to put on a convention, yeah, bound to be a hit.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, it's their baby. Other than the band, this is like their baby. So 5 out of 5, easy. So you know what? One thing I didn't talk about, the Terrifier panel. Were you there for that?
No, I wasn't. That was Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I did that too. So I went to that as well. And they were talking about just all things Terrifier. And Damien explained why he went the Christmas route.
Oh, really?
And he said his favorite horror movie of all time, Black Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yep. So he decided that he wanted to do a Christmas horror movie, a Christmas slasher because of how much he loves Black Christmas. And I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. So that's why he did Terrifier 3 as the whole thing taking place around Christmas. And I think that's great. It's fucking awesome. Yeah, they were all there. So we're talking Damien, David, Lauren, the other kid.
Amelie and Jonathan.
Yep, exactly. Amelie and Jonathan, they were there. Mike Levy made a little appearance because Damien was talking about something and Mike was like, I'm right here or something. He yelled out something from the crowd. It was pretty fucking funny. So he wasn't actually like sitting down on the panel. It was just kind of like the main people, if you want to say it that way. Yeah. But that was a fun panel to sit in on. And oh, okay. There are some things I can talk about. So David Howard Thornton, his like influence, ready for this?
What?
Mr. Bean.
Oh, like the mime stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, because like, he does a lot of stuff. Well, Mr. Bean doesn't speak.
Right. Yeah. So Mr. Bean doesn't speak. And he's just like, you know, for our audience that doesn't know who Mr. Bean is, it was a show on like BBC, like a British broadcasting company, whatever. And it was just this guy, Mr. Bean. He never spoke a word. And he would always get into these like fucking hijinks. And it was always like these ridiculous situations where he could have done something stupid and just somehow gets out of it unscathed. So he was a fan of that. And David also started off being in theater. And that was like kind of his thing. And then he got the role of Art the Clown. I don't remember what he said for that, though. But I found it interesting that Mr. Bean was like an influence for him.
Yeah, I never knew that, but it makes sense.
Makes
now that
sense.
I think of it, you know?
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. And fucking people were lined up like crazy to ask questions, man. Let me tell you. They had to cut people off. Yeah, it was wild.
Was it an hour panel still? Because it was the final day, or did they give them more time?
No, it was an hour panel, but they definitely could have gone on longer for sure because they were talking about all sorts of stuff. And of course, we find out later, like, you know, there was an announcement coming that they're all announcing that something is coming. And we find out that Ice Nine Kills, they wrote the official song for Terrifier 3. So that got announced, not that day, but like a fucking week later. But they were all saying something, we're announcing something soon. And that's what they announced.
They did announce that at Silver Scream.
Yeah, that they were making an announcement for an announcement.
No, they announced the music video and the song.
Did I miss that?
I think you did, because that's where it was announced.
Oh, well, maybe. Because I know they did the screening, but I thought they'd said, like, they said it at the same time. But it makes sense to do it at Silver. Oh, you're fucking right. You are right. They did mention
that.
I wasn't even there. I was there. Actually, you know what? No. Here's why I got my shit all fucking mixed up. Because I wasn't there for the Ice Nine Kills panel. And that's where it was announced.
Okay.
That's why I'm getting my shit all fucked up. All right. Yeah, I wasn't there for that. I decided to bounce a little early. The room was fucking jammed anyways.
For Ice Nine Kills?
Yeah. So I decided to just head out and just fucking relax when I got home because it was a long weekend. But we had a good time, man. We had a real good time. All right, everyone. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.